Not today. Some have heard those words many more times than others. It's not the time, it's not the place, it's not the occasion, it's not that urgent, it's not sanctioned, it's not the tradition, it's not warranted, it's not authorized, it's not necessary, it's not appropriate, it's not acceptable, it's not responsible, it's not our decision. It's not for foreigners, it's not for women, it's not for children, it's not for immigrants. It's not for strangers. It's not for the poor. And the list goes on. In every age, we find severe cases, what I would call the it's nots. It's not for you. Oh, yesterday you could have. Tomorrow you may. But today, no, you cannot. Not today. Go away. That's what he was saying. Not today. Don't you people know the commandment of God? He tries his best to shame them all. Anyone within shaming distance of his voice, shame on you. Shame on you people for coming here with the expectation of actually being healed. Now we know what he was really angry about and who he was really after. It was Jesus for having healed the woman on the Sabbath day. But what of the woman herself? She seems just one of the many, many, many anonymous women that we find in both Testaments. She was lost sight of by him. She was lost sight of him before her healing. And finding her healed, he was even angrier. Apparently, the actual joy of her being healed and praising God kindled this resentment within him. The joy of others can cause resentment and even hatred in others. You see, for this man of the synagogue, this gatekeeper, the woman was made for the Sabbath. But for Jesus, the Sabbath was made precisely for this woman. For this angry man, healing was work. And work was prohibited on the Sabbath. But for Jesus, healing is always grace. And grace is what the Sabbath is all about. This is another one of those stories where we have conflicting necessities and conflicting interpretations and conflicting priorities. But the bottom line is this: grace is not a work, but grace works. And healing is not a work, but healing works. No matter the person, no matter the circumstances, no matter the day. We know very little about this woman. She was there. And she was bent over. She was crippled. She'd been like that for 18 years. So what's another day? If you've borne this condition for a couple of decades, what's another day? You can wait. You can wait. You should wait. You must wait. It seems that she was not only anonymous, but invisible to this man. as if she was an anonymous abstraction, a concept that doesn't count for much in the community. She was inconvenient, she was insignificant, and she was a nuisance. How dare this abstraction receive the concrete healing love of Jesus on the Sabbath? Now, the story sounds like there must be a subsection or this divine footnote in Scripture regarding the Sabbath and the commandment. And the footnote reads like this: 6 days you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but on the seventh day, give it a rest. Give mercy a rest. Mercy needs a rest. Healing needs a rest. Love needs a rest. The Sabbath is indeed for rest. But as we know, as we believe, it's both rest from labor and it's rest in God. I might need rest, but my love never rests, or it is not love. Should my love rest, I'm bankrupt. Love is always restless because there is always one more need, always one more person that needs healing, that needs the love of God in Christ Jesus through me and through you. My love and your love will not rest. It cannot rest where there is need. So for my benefit, I may rest on the Sabbath. But for your benefit, I must love you on the Sabbath. The crippled up, bent over woman was just there. There's no indication she was expecting or she was asking to be healed on that day. She wasn't standing in line with some number waiting for her healing number to be called. She's curved over. But the ruler of the synagogue is bent in. He's curved in. And because he is bent in, he is bent on not seeing this woman's need. Go to the end of the line. Not today. For him, there is no bending of the Sabbath understanding and rules and traditions. You don't do it for the sake of others. He is tied up. He's bound up in boundaries. And for him, it seems that boundaries are more important than bonds. He's trying to protect the day, not to protect the woman. He bends over backwards in interpreting the Sabbath as excessively and selectively restrictive. The decisions we make, the decisions we choose to make regarding necessities and interpretation and priorities, reveals who and what we love and who and what we don't. And this man is far more concerned with the breaking of the Sabbath day than with the brokenness of this woman healed on the Sabbath. He sees the day, but is blind to the woman. To remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is to immerse ourselves in the rest of God. That rest which is refreshing and redeeming and restoring. So what could be more reverent remembrance than bringing healing to the broken and praising God for her being healed? Is there a better day, a better thing to do on the day than what Jesus did? To glorify God is to rest in God. And to rest in God is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This woman epitomizes what the Sabbath day is all about. She receives, she praises, and she rests in God. But as usual, Jesus is guilty here. He's guilty of committing mercy to the broken. He's guilty of loving a woman enough to heal her then and there. He's guilty of loving his neighbor as himself. He's guilty of putting concrete love before a restrictive tradition. He's guilty of being good. In setting this woman physically straight, he simultaneously sets off his adversaries and the crowd and tells them exactly what timely mercy is all about. He shows them. Now, we know this brouhaha was not really about offending the law. It was about Jesus offending pious duplicity. You unbind your oxen and ask to give them what they need on the Sabbath day, but you would leave this woman bound to her infirmity. Have I got that right? You think of her of such little consequence, you would treat her less than an animal. To feed an animal is not Sabbath work, but to heal a woman is Sabbath work. Have I got that right? And so he blasts them. You hypocrites! If your animal fell in a well on the Sabbath day, you would immediately pull it out. And yet you let this woman remain at the dry well of healing for 18 years and tell her to wait. Luther didn't beat around the bush on this text. He said what Jesus really wanted to say to them in plain German was, you are just plain oxen and asses yourselves. You're even more stupid than those you untie, and it may be that an ass can read better than you can. Can't you understand and learn how much more necessary? How much more necessary it is to help a person when he or she needs the help. It was Jesus who made it possible for this daughter of Abraham to literally rest in the mercy of Almighty God on the Sabbath. Now, many will say that time determines when the need is right. Not so with Jesus. With Jesus, the need determines when the time is right. The Sabbath day needs no protection from the Lord of the Sabbath. Obedience to the necessity of love relativizes all other commitments, all other obligations. And again, as Luther preached, and I quote, we learn here from Christ what is the right understanding of the Sabbath, and how one should maintain the distinction between the outward use of the Sabbath with regard to time and hour and lace and love, and the necessary works of love, the necessary works of love, the necessary works of love, which God requires at all times and hours, at all places, wherever there is a need. Now, I think G.B. Caird said it as succinctly and well as has ever been said. Far being the wrong day, the Sabbath was actually the best day for works of mercy. The true and final meaning of the Sabbath is God's deliverance of creation from the power of evil. What better way to remember the Sabbath than to participate in the healing of someone in the name of Jesus, and then to lift your voice in thankful praise to the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of all days, the Lord of all time. Our church has a two-word answer to all the is-nots of postponement and discrimination and duplicity and disappointment. And the two words are these: yes, today. Yes, today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be healed and let us be glad in it. The Lord God, our Father in Christ Jesus, rules over all rules. His mercy reigns every day. In Christ, we are bound to unbind the broken, no matter the time, no matter the place, no matter the day, no matter the person. Come now. Let us eat and drink and be healed. Amen.